So my talk this morning is from the Science of Mind textbook, chapter 4. At the very beginning, it starts out the thing itself and talks about God and what it is. And we're up to the part where we talk about how to use it. How to use the science of mind. What does it do for us? Why do we do it? You know, I've been at it 35 years, some of you even longer. And why? What's the point? And I look forward to Sunday morning when I'm going to give a talk, because something always happens Sunday morning that sends me off in a slightly different direction, and I start scrambling all of the pages that I collected of things to talk about. And this morning it was Reverend Hillary on Facebook that sent me to a place to begin that really touched me deeply. And this is what she wrote on the Evensong West Facebook page. It's from Topher Kirby. I don't know who he is. I didn't have time to look him up, but I loved what he said. Certain people feel like peace. They bring a calmness and steadiness to life. They have a gentle strength that makes it seem like everything's going to be okay. They make the difficult days seem possible and the beautiful moments last a little longer. Life is better when we surround ourselves with that kind of peace. And that sums up in a very powerful way why I do science of mind. Because before I met this philosophy, peace was not a part of my life. I was often depressed. I got myself into situations that were abusive. I took courage to get out of them, and I began seeking a different way to think rather than fear and worry and anxiety. And I stumbled on the science of mind philosophy through a study group in a community center that was using Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, as inspiration. And Louise Hay was a science of mind practitioner and minister. So Louise taught science of mind, and I began to hear the science of mind philosophy, and I believed. I got tuned in to something that made sense to my mind and satisfied my heart. And Michael, when he talked about why he was here this morning, he mentioned, I hope it's okay I say this here, that he likes to go where the yeses are, and said that we were one of the places for him, and that so highlights the fact that this is one of the places for me where the yeses are and have been for all these decades. It just has continued to expand in my way of approaching it and experiencing it, thinking about it. It's a beautiful philosophy. And I have lots of quotes from this chapter that I'll get to. But the next thing that came to me, that after I talked about Reverend Hillary's little poem about people who feel like peace, I was reminded of a daily guide I wrote for Science Mind magazine in the year 2000. So we're closing in on 25 years about that. And I talked about the old story that I've talked about many times about a man who asks three stonemasons what they are doing. And the first one says, "I'm breaking rocks. It's horrible, dirty work, and I hate it. I would rather be fishing." The second man says, "I'm earning a good living for my family. I love my family, and I want to do what's best for my family." And the third man looks up to heaven with stars in his eyes and says, "I'm building a great cathedral for the glory of God." Wow. All doing the same thing from such incredibly different perspectives. One is dealing at the physical level where it doesn't feel good. One is dealing at the heart level from the love that he experiences. And one that is inspired by a vision so far beyond what he's physically doing that it's almost hard to imagine. And yet he's able to focus in a way that expands his mind, his heart, and transforms his activity into something that uplifts and inspires him every day. And what I went on to say in that daily guide is, in every moment, we may remember where we are from a thousand different vantage points. We may focus on living in a world of struggle and hardship or a world of possibility. Perhaps we can go within and perceive a holy world of grace where we live joyfully as blessed children of the universe. We make a choice to stand in one particular reality and then act from the assumptions of that place. And as we become conscious of how our perceptions create our experience, we are free to make the choice to recall more elevated places to stand. As we choose again, ever more expansive vistas present new possibilities to us. And the affirmation I wrote for that daily guide is, "Today I remember to stand on holy ground. My mind is open to possibilities. I know myself as a divine child of the universe. I choose my activities joyfully, building a great life to reveal the glory of God within me." Yeah. Wow, I was glad to be reminded of that choice to build a great life to reveal the glory of God within me. I do my best to be a place of peace, as Reverend Hillary described. And some people tell me that they experience peace by being with me in different situations. A lot of people tell me that they feel less anxiety in the world because they spend time going on my walks in nature through my pictures on Facebook. It takes them out of their daily life and into the beauty and wonder that's visible in the park every day. Going back to Ernest Holmes and this chapter, then, I want to start with a quote from New Design for Living by Ernest Holmes. He said, "Today I expect a more abundant life by keeping my thought and expectation open to new experiences, to happier events, to more complete self-expression, giving out more love. I know a love greater in return. sharing with life whatever good things I have. I know life shares with me the good things that it possesses. Seeing beauty everywhere, I have a revelation of still more beauty. Seeing joy in everything, I know genuine laughter. More deeply sensing the divine tranquility in which all things exist, I have a deeper consciousness of peace and security. Through it all, I know I am in the embrace of a warm, loving presence, forever seeking an outlet through me. I am that. I am the warm, loving presence. And I can bring that into the world. And in this chapter, Ernest said, one of the difficulties of the science of mind is that we're likely to indulge in too much theory and too little practice. So what is it that we practice? And the usual answer is prayer and meditation, spiritual mind treatment, and the meditation that we do. And Ernest defined meditation in the Science of Mind glossary as the recognition of God within, the certainty of our oneness with the whole, the immediate availability of the power and wisdom resulting from this oneness. Such communion with God brings harmony into our lives and affairs, establishes the law of health and prosperity, and makes us a light to all who cross our pathway. I love Ernest. He just has this vision of life that is so uplifting and life-giving. I just am so inspired when I read the things that he has said. And so I loved what he said about meditation. So I thought, well, I'll look in the glossary to see what he says about treatment. And he said, treatment is the art, the act, and the science of consciously inducing thought, the time, process, and method necessary to the changing of our thought. It's clearing the thought of negation, doubt, and fear, and causing it to perceive the ever-presence of God. Perceiving God everywhere in every moment is like building a great cathedral for the glory of God through our lives. In my vision, it said, the only lesson you need is stop, relax, and look up. Look at the higher frequency, the bigger picture, the more expansive possibility. In the chapter, Ernest went on to say, the law is infinite and right where we happen to be at any given time. The law flows through us because it flows through everything. And since we exist, it must be innocent through us. It must flow through us in order to manifest for us. And he went on to say, we should learn to control our thought processes and bring them into line with reality. Thought should tend more and more toward the affirmative attitude of mind that is positive, stable, and above all else toward a real unity with spirit that is already complete and perfect. So we're aiming for that unity, that oneness, that wholeness that we can know so powerfully. That is such a grace to experience that wholeness of God within us. And Ernest went on to say, we do not put the power into the word, but we do let the power of the law flow through it. And the one who most completely believes in this power will produce the best results. So our connection to source is that recognition of the energy flowing through our prayers and our lives as we focus on the things that uplift and inspire us. From the story, as we build the great cathedral for the glory of God through us, through our lives, we do the treatment, we do the prayer, not because we're putting power into it, but because we're allowing the power to flow through it. The power already exists everywhere and always. Anatomy of Healing Prayer, Ernest said, everything that is of the nature of limitation is but the limitless flowing through us at the level of our acceptance of life. How do we accept life? What do we allow ourselves to see and do and know? We get to choose. Our power lies in our ability to focus and make choices and think about love rather than fear, choose to see through a filter of grace rather than worry. How do we choose? We choose in the moment. If we feel good, we're choosing something uplifting. If we're feeling fear or worry or anger, we're choosing something negative, and we can make another choice. Now, Ernest in the book Spiritual Awareness said, our consciousness expands through meditation and contemplation, through conscious communication with the invisible, and through our intuition, which is the voice of spirit in us. Spiritual experience comes in the stillness of the soul when the outer voice is quiet. In moments of real inspiration, we realize to the degree that God is all, the life in everything and the love through everything. And Rockwell Kent, who was an artist, said, in quietness, the soul expands. So we're doing meditation to get quiet, to allow our soul to expand, to feel that communication with the inner voice, that essence of spirit that speaks in us. The still small voice, some say it. Ernest went on to say, as our thought is open and we behold the image of eternity within ourselves, we are changed by this image into the newness of life. Emerson tells us we are inlets and might become outlets of the divine nature. We must consciously become outlets. It is only as we listen deeply that the inner presence reveals itself. There is a vitality in our communication with the infinite, which is productive of the highest good. That's what makes us the person of peace that people look forward to being around. That makes us able to make the world a different place than it would be without us. And one of the things I regularly say to myself is I pick up a piece of trash somewhere and throw it away. I say I want to leave places better than I found them if I possibly can. And to be that person that allows the flow of light that is the one that uplifts and inspires, that is such a gift. How do we connect? Each of us is different. And I have a little quote from one of my books with Beloved from book 3. It's called the 5-Star Custom Tour of Life. B was always pretty dramatic. I said, "I can feel my heart leap with excitement at the promise of amazing things to come. I love my life, B." And they said, "We love your life too, C. We find much to love in every life." And I said, "That's hard to imagine, B. But I heard a formerly deaf man with new bionic ears talking on Saturday about the benefit he had within his silent world of no distraction before he could hear. He loves that he can now choose either silence or hearing. He opened my mind and heart to some possibilities I hadn't considered before. And a character on a TV show last week with Down syndrome did the same. Sometimes differently abled people might have a shortcut connection to source. Is that true, B? And B said, "Everyone has a direct line to source, and each one is different. Some are fine-tuned nuances. Some are spectacularly different, like the two examples that jumped out at you this week. Getting people to focus on what triggers or facilitates their connection can really help them. What facilitates yours?" B asked me. I said, "Appreciation, prayer, meditation, beauty, natures and animals, relaxation, hugs, fun, music, dancing and watching dancers, great conversation, laughter, and tuning to love." B said, "You cultivate connection because you value it." I said, "I do value it. I've loved all the ways I've learned to connect over the years." So we all connect in our own different ways. We don't have to all be the same. We get to be different and wonderful and unique. But until we get to that place where we are peaceful enough to hear our guidance, and for some people, it's sitting cross-legged on the floor, and for some people, it's walking mindfully in the woods, and other place people have other experiences that bring them into that place of connection and peace. I listed a bunch of different things that help me to connect, and we all have that opportunity to connect in our own ways. But doing it is the point. How do we do it? For each of us, asking ourselves that question, I think, is really valuable. I've observed that recently a lot of my friends and other people haven't been feeling as connected as they normally do and love to do. And reminding myself and other people how to get back into that space of connection and feel a deeper possibility. I was listening to an Abraham workshop, and they've been talking about how we create our own reality and we can allow chaos outside of us to disturb us and allow us to create more disturbance in our lives, or we can settle back into that space of peace and think about what it is that we want in our lives rather than pushing against what we don't want. And their conclusion at the end of that workshop just blew me away. They said, "It's not just going to be all right. It's going to be more magnificent than you've ever lived or imagined. Once we get through this, it's going to be more magnificent than we've ever imagined." That inspires me. That makes me feel hopeful about the possibilities that lie before us. And I notice that I'm having dreams about things that I wouldn't have imagined dreaming about. Changes in the world order that yield more possibility and democracy and upliftment of groups of people. And there have been evidence of that happening in other countries over the last couple of weeks. In Syria and in South Korea, things changed radically over the course of 2 or 3 days toward a more democratic, uplifted society. Unexpected changes. And there are possibilities of things changing that we don't see yet. We can't see yet from where we stand. But if we stand with our focus on the groundbreaking rocks and feeling miserable, we're not going to get there. If we focus on loving our family and friends and uplifting our lives through the love that we share with our communities and the people around us, we make a difference in a powerful way. Not only the people we individually touch, but we add more love to the consciousness of humanity. There is a bigger, more expansive impact. One time, beloved said, I was talking to them about what Mother Teresa said that I've often quoted, we can't do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And I love that statement. And beloved said, that's very true. But if you do anything with a little more love than you did yesterday, you make a difference to the consciousness of humanity. So we get to put love into the mix. And as we have this broader vision that perhaps in ways we can't possibly understand, it's going to be more magnificent than we've ever lived or imagined. I love that possibility. And I want to focus on the vision of the highest possibility, because God expressing is unlimited. And there are things we can't imagine that take place that show up, and things can change in a very short time. So I'm hopeful, and I want to end with a beautiful meditation that Ernest Holmes did in Living the Science of Mind. Believing that God is all the presence there is, I'm learning to feel this presence in everything and in everyone. Dwelling on the thought that God is love, I permit my mind to become filled with the consciousness of this love. I permit this love to envelop everything and everyone, bringing with it a sense of peace and joy and certainty. Realizing that God is life, I open my whole thought to such a complete inflowing of this divine life that I see it and feel it in people, in nature, animating every act, sustaining all movement. My faith in this life is complete, positive, and certain. Knowing that all things are possible to faith, I say to my own mind, be not afraid. Faith makes your way certain. Faith goes before you and prepares the way. Believing that God is in everyone I meet, this in people, and I'm one with everyone I meet. Knowing that God is peace, I open my mind to the quiet influence and the calm certainty of peace. And knowing that God is joy, I meet every situation in happiness. I commit my life unto this power which can do all things with complete assurance. So as we move through this holiday season, whether you're celebrating solstice or Kwanzaa or Christmas into New Year, my wish for you is that you meet God and people and know that God is peace, opening your mind to that quiet influence and calm certainty. You experience joy, meeting every situation in happiness. So I commit my life unto this power. I invite you to join me as we move forward with the remainder of this year. Thank you.